إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار إخوتي وأخواتي الكرام أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, I remind you and myself to have the taqwa, the consciousness and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For whoever has the taqwa of Allah, Allah will make his affairs easy. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, one of the gravest dangers that exists for our youth, in fact a grave danger for the very future of the Muslim community and the Muslim Ummah, is the spread of a global pop culture. A culture that carries within it values that contradict our teachings. Rather, this culture, this globalized spread of information and culture, seeks to erode the very values and foundations of Islamic teachings and of the very principles and morals and values that Islam enshrines. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, this global culture, it is based on secularism and materialism. It is based on removing religious values. In fact, erasing the differences between different religions. And the product of this pop culture upon us, and especially upon our youth, is what is called al-dawaban. Al-dawaban, or assimilation, the erasing of the Islamic character and personality from our youth. The eroding of values that our religion teaches. Part of this global movement, or this pop culture, part of the danger of it, is that it leads our Muslim youth to imitate and to follow blindly the culture, the Western culture that contradicts their religious values. The danger of this is that Muslims lose their identity. They become a victim of identity crisis and a victim of inferiority complex. When the victor is emulated, when the powerful is imitated by the weak, and this is something that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us about in a hadith narrated by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, when he said, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سَنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ وَلَوْ دَخَلُوا حُجْرَ ضُبْ لَدَخَلْتُمُوهُ وَلَوْ دَخَلُوا حُجْرَ ضُبْ لَدَخَلْتُمُوهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, indeed you will follow in the footsteps of those before you. So much so that if they were to enter into a lizard's hole, then you would follow them into it. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the danger to our young men, our shabab especially, is when they imitate the behavior, the character of this pop culture. When they imitate the dress and the way of behaving and interacting with others, thinking that this is more popular, more accepted by the people. And so they end up blindly following and adapting the culture and the values and the morals of those who do not have faith. They end up eroding their religious belief through philosophies and through beliefs that are not based on iman, but rather based on atheism. And so they lose their very Islamic personality. The youth and even the adults, and by extension the future of the Muslim Ummah, is in grave danger. Because if we in this society lose our Islamic values, our Islamic morals, then there will be no future for us as an Ummah. This weakness, or this imitation, is a result of weakness of iman. It is a result of lack of trust and confidence in our religious teaching. It is a result of ignorance and not having knowledge and comprehension and fiqh of the religion. And it is a result of improper tarbiyah, not raising our children upon Islamic values and pride in the teachings and the values of Islam. My respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we see that this imitation of Western culture is a danger for our young sisters, our young women, who look up to models and people who have little faith. They end up dressing or undressing like them. They end up behaving in a very unbefitting way with the opposite gender. And they end up following improper role models, people that will lead them to do evil acts. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, if we contemplate and reflect on the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us a very clear prohibition of imitating people without faith, those who do not share our values and our beliefs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells Harun and Musa, فاستقيما ولا تتبعان سبيل الذين لا يعلمون. فاستقيما, so stay upright, be upright. ولا تتبعان, and do not follow سبيل الذين لا يعلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing Musa and Harun when they were going to Fir'aun, He tells them, be upright and do not follow the ways of those who do not have knowledge, who do not have proper understanding. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكَ عَلَى شَرِيعَةٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ فَاتَّبِعْهَا وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have placed you upon a sharia, upon a complete system of rules and laws, So follow it, and do not follow the way of those who follow their desires. Do not follow the desires, the whims, the feelings of those people who are not endowed with proper knowledge. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, explaining this ayah, he says this ayah is a clear prohibition for the believers to follow the ways, to follow the desires of the people who use their whims and feelings in terms of guidance in what is right and wrong in their religion. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is explaining that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was commanding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to adhere to the Sharia of Islam, to the regulations revealed by Allah, and not follow the feelings and the whims and desires of those who follow their feelings for their religion. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the prohibition of the blind imitation of those of other faiths is found in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when describing the servants of the Rahman. He says, الَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ الَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ, those who do not bear witness to zur. And the Mufassireen, they explain, what is zur? Many of the Salaf al-Salih, they said zur are the holidays of the non-believing people. They do not bear witness, they do not partake, they do not celebrate. لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ, they do not be witness to the ways, to the holidays of those who do not believe. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, if we look to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that the emphatic prohibition of imitating the ways and the character of those without faith, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was seeking a means to call people to the prayer. So some of them, they suggested, why don't we raise a flag so that people could see the flag and then invite others to come to the prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not like it. Then they said, why don't we blow a horn and then the people can hear it and come to prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, هذا من أمر اليهود, this is the way of the Yahud, and he did not like it. Then they suggested, let us ring a bell and people could hear it and come to prayer. And he said, هذا من أمر النصارى, من أمر النصارى, this is the way of the Christians. And he did not like it. This hadith is narrated by Imam Bukhari. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the people of Ilm, our scholars, they say that this hadith it implies that we are prohibited from imitating any of the religious aspects of the Christians, of the Yahud and Nasara. Also, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we find in the seerah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prohibited us from even outwardly imitating the ways of the non-believing people. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, pray, when he was praying with the Sahaba and he was sitting and they stood up and prayed behind him, when he finished the prayer, he told them, you have done like the way of the Romans and of the Persians when they stand up for their kings. Do not do that, because the Romans and the Persians, they would stand while their king would sit, and he prohibited them from that. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a longer hadith that was narrated by Abu Dawood and Ahmad, he said, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ, whoever imitates a people, then he is from them, he becomes from them. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we also find that the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us to do things differently from the Yahud and Nasara. He said, صَلُّوا فِي النِّعَالِ, pray in your sandals, because the Yahud, they do not pray with their sandals on. So he wanted the Muslims to be different than them. And also the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Khalis al-Majus, be different than the fire worshippers. Leave the beard and trim the mustache. Encouraging us to look even outwardly different from people of disbelief. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he explains that this is a proof that even in matters, by extension, that even in matters that are not specifically prohibited by the Sharia in terms of imitating, even in those things we should not imitate. This is a derivation of Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the prohibition of imitating the people of disbelief is not only in aqaid, in beliefs, but it is also in matters that are specific to them in terms of their religion, in terms of special clothing or special features that they do on their holidays, special foods and decorations that they use. This is also prohibited. However, what is not prohibited is taking the beneficial things that provide a benefit for the Muslim Ummah, and it is based on kulliyat, general benefits that are enjoined by our Sharia, then we can use these things for the benefit of our deen, and this is not something that is prohibited. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, also from what is a danger to our youth, and one of the things that is prohibited strongly in our Sharia, is imitation of what we find now, men imitating women and women imitating men in dress, in characteristics, in behavior, in akhlaq. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's narrated that he la'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam المتشبهين من الرجال بالنساء والمتشبهات من النساء بالرجال. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cursed the men who resemble women in their behavior or in their dress, and he cursed the women who resemble the men in their dress and behavior. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, this is a grave danger. The danger of eroding our very Islamic characteristic by losing our values and morals and by completely assimilating into this society. It is a challenge for every youth, for every parent, to make sure that his children or her children are brought up on proper Islamic ideals and that they feel proud of their religion and their Sharia and of their deen, and that they do not melt away in the society, that they do not become a victim of الذوبان, they do not become a victim of assimilation. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. Beloved, respected brothers and sisters in Islam, another extreme that our youth often fall into is reviling other Muslims, hating other Muslims or defaming them, sometimes believing that this is a form of dawah. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, in the Sharia of Islam teaches us to have purity outwardly and inwardly, meaning that our intentions should coincide with our outward behavior and vice versa. Our outward behavior should coincide with our intentions. However, in the age that we live in, we find the spread of individual egotism, the spread of shuh, greed, the spread of desiring fame and power in the eyes of people. So it is very rare indeed that we find those Muslims whose inward and outward match one another. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, outward appearances are worthless if they are not matched with purity of intention inside. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna Allah la yanzuru ila ajsamikum." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not look at your bodies, but rather, and nor does He look at your outward appearance, but rather what He looks at is your heart and your actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He looks at the heart and the actions of a person, narrated by Imam Muslim. The likeness of a person whose inward intentions are corrupt, but his outward behavior is beautiful, is like some water that looks crisp and clear, but its taste is filthy. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, in this time, this age that we live in, of greed and self-aggrandizement, what we find is that people do not make excuses for their fellow Muslims. And our Sharia teaches us that we should have leeway, we should have tolerance of the ijtihadat, the valid juristic derivations of other views, other scholars. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us that a mujtahid, if he is correct in his ijtihad, he gets two rewards. And if he's mistaken in his ijtihad, he is rewarded one reward. Which we do not find this tolerance today. But our religion teaches us that we should make room, we should have enough tolerance to accept those who have differences based on valid juristic principles with evidence, or even those who may have been mistaken in their ijtihad, yet they will still be rewarded. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, a Muslim, a believer, we are taught to have a good opinion of Allah, to think well of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to not harbor ill will or ill feelings about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, we are taught not to have suspicion towards our fellow brothers and sisters in Islam. Rather, we should have a good opinion of others, and we should tolerate the flaws of others rather than mistrusting our fellow Muslims. It is much better for a person to give the benefit of a doubt to a Muslim and be mistaken than to always harbor suspicion and be wrong in suspicion and having suspicion of others. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, when giving advice to our fellow brothers and sisters in Islam, what we must do is put our feelings, our hawa, our inclinations and seeking of ego aside. We must be sincere and ask ourselves, are we truly giving advice for the sake of Allah sincerely? Or are we seeking or aspiring for fame? Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, reviling and defaming is different than advising. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the difference between reviling our fellow Muslims and advising them is the difference between seeking one's own desires and seeking the desire of Allah, and seeking the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have witnessed, and it is known through experience, that those who revile and defame and pick the faults and dig the faults of others end up being destroyed in the same manner that they attacked others. They end up becoming a victim themselves of reviling and people accusing them in their intentions. The Prophet ﷺ, he prohibited this disease of suspicion and digging up the faults of other Muslims when he said, "Whoever reviles a Muslim brother for a sin that the latter has committed, then he will not die until he commits the same sin." This is a hadith narrated by Imam at-Tirmidhi. Also, the Prophet ﷺ, he prohibited us from being joyful from the tribulations that afflict others, or seeing others falling into sin, when he said in a hadith narrated by Imam at-Tirmidhi, "Do not be joyful maliciously for your brother's tribulation, for Allah may show mercy to him, and he may send that affliction upon you." Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, anyone who uses the internet, the social networking, they find a very powerful tool for dawah, which at the same time is a very dangerous tool. The internet can be used to spread knowledge to thousands, but at the same time, if it is misused or abused, then that evil would spread as well to an equal number of people. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we have to learn to have taqwa of Allah with our tongues. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, there when he was giving advice regarding the tongue, and the Sahaba, they said, "Would we be taken account for this, for these tongues, what they earn?" The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "What else will cause people to be thrown headlong on their faces into the hellfire?" Hadith is narrated by Imam at-Tirmidhi. May Allah save us from that. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the tongue is the mirror of the heart, and the pen, the writing, is a mirror of the tongue. So we must be careful, because the tongue will bear witness for us or against us. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, a mistake of the tongue can be repaired by good intention, but a corruption in intention cannot be repaired by beautiful or by words. Some of the ulama, they said, many people find a fault in correct speech when indeed the corruption was in his own understanding. This is a very short life, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam. We must be careful to use our time in what is going to earn us reward, and not backbiting and calumny and spreading calumnies. As the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Do you know who the bankrupt, the bereft, poor person is?" And then he continued, "It is the one who comes on the Yawm al-Qiyamah with salah and sadaqah and fasting, but then he cursed this person and backbited this and he hurt the other, and all of his good deeds are taken away until nothing is left, and then he has to take on the sins of those whom he spread riba about." In this world today, how many are there of those who are bankrupt? We ask Allah to give us rectification of our niyyah, our intentions, and of our tongues, and to guide us to what is pleasing to Him. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم أعز الإسلام وأذل المشركين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل أعداءك أعداء الدين اللهم ردنا ورد المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان اللهم أصلح شبابنا ونساءنا وبناتنا وأولادنا وذرياتنا يا رب العالمين اللهم نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله على سيد الخلق سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم عباد الله اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
بسم الله استووا اعتدلوا يرحمكم الله استووا لا تختلفوا أثابكم الله.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله اللهم انت السلام عليك السلام